Thank you for listening to the Rev Left Vineyard podcast. For more information, visit www.revleftvineyard.church.
With that, let's do this. Let's pray, and then we're going to go ahead and spend some time studying the Bible a little bit today. So, Father, we thank you for all the great, glorious, wonderful things that you do in your creation. And it's so good to be here this morning just to gather with other people who are interested in following Jesus, or who are looking for community, or who want a cup of coffee, God. It's just good to be here this morning. And we do welcome your Holy Spirit's presence. We thank you that you're here with us, and we ask, Holy Spirit, for you to come and to show up and show off and glorify Jesus, the Son of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a country called Kenya, which is in Eastern Africa. Some of you might know where Kenya is. I had the opportunity to go there for a mission trip and to help train some pastors over there. And one of the things we also did was we spent some time working with orphans. And we spent part of that time working with orphans going to these areas known as slums, where there might be like 1.2 million people living in a really, really crowded space. And it's crazy. And so it was the first time I'd ever seen poverty of that level. Like, has anybody ever gone to Africa or to another country and you've seen poverty in a way that you're like, whoa, our poor people have it really good, right? And so if you've been there, you know the challenges. It's really emotionally challenging. And while I was there, we went to the slum and we were feeding children, and we were walking up this alley, and we turned a corner and there were two 1.5-year-old babies sitting in the alley. They were twins just sitting there all by themselves. And I had never seen anything like that. So I remember feeling this overwhelming sense of emotion at that sight, and then kind of asking the person we were with what was going on. And so he asked some of the neighbors what was going on. And what had happened is the mother of these two children had died. The husband had remarried and he was working. And the new wife didn't consider those children hers, so she didn't take care of them. So there's these two children in the middle of this alley that were malnutritioned and, you know, were they looked like they were 6 months old, but they were a year and a half old and really emotionally challenging. And I remember looking at them and I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what we're doing right now is what the kingdom of God is about as we're feeding these children. And it was really overwhelming for me to see that this man who we were with, he runs an orphanage over there. He's a Kenyan man. And he, as he was feeding these children, was weeping. And it was really moving to me to see this man who does that all the time for the last 10 years still was emotionally moved to see that type of poverty. But again, the Holy Spirit just said, this is what the kingdom of God is about. It's about ministering to people. And so God really spoke to me in that moment. I just heard his voice. And then it reminded me, though, of a conference I had gone to. I don't know, it was probably a conference I went to 15 years ago. And this pastor got up and he told the story about how he had pastored a church that had grown to be a mega church, and they had raised like millions and millions of dollars to do a building fund. And so they were planning on building this huge campus as they were growing, and yet the Holy Spirit spoke to this church, changed the whole trajectory, and rather than building this huge multi, square foot complex, they decided to just build an amphitheater outdoors, have tons of different multiple services, so they could take the majority of their money and put it back into missions. And he said something really remarkable at that time. He said, if your church's carpet isn't dirty, you're not doing kingdom ministry. Okay? So you can look at the carpet right now and assume that we are doing kingdom ministry. Just an assumption, right? But there's something in that. When he shared that, I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke to me again, that doing kingdom ministry is dirty and hard, and really it means that we have to sometimes get our hands dirty, right? But those are two specific times where I just sensed, clearly discerned the voice of the Lord. And so we're in this series right now where we're talking about hearing from God. And we're kind of exploring just different aspects of what that looks like and how it happens. And And I've been hearing some really great stories from people this last week about how God spoke to them and how they sense that this is a season where they're wanting to press into more of how God might speak to them. So last week what we did is we talked about how, for me, there were some foundational things about Christian spirituality. And like one of them was this, that Christian spirituality is about journey rather than arrival. Like, we're all in this room, and what I love about this right now, like this, my heart is soaring because we have all these people in this room that have different backgrounds, right? We have socioeconomic diversity, we have ethnic diversity, we have cultural diversity. We all are coming to gather together with our own backgrounds, our own history, our own story, so to speak. And so what we love at the Vineyard is to talk about how we're on this journey of following Jesus and learning to be more and more like him and learning his ways. We also talked about how Christian spirituality is integrative and holistic. So Jesus, when he does speak to us, it's not just about our head or our heart or our hands. It's about all three of those things being integrated. Like, to be a follower of Jesus means that you think well, you feel well, and you also act well. It's about us living this out. And then lastly, which kind of is prompting this whole series, we talked about how Christian spirituality assumes that God is relational. Like, God deeply longs to have relationship with you and I, which I don't know about you, but that's really cool. Anybody agree with that? Yeah, in the South they say amen. That's what they do down there. So I don't know, what's the West Coast equivalent? What is it? Anybody got one? Yeah, shut up. What is it? Head nod. Okay, head nod. All right, so head nod. All right, so Christian spirituality is relational. Amen. Now you guys are doing, you guys throwing me off. I don't know where I'm at. South, West Coast, I don't know. But what we talked about was how in John 10, Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. We read Jesus' own words. He said, hey, my people, my disciples, my followers actually recognize and respond to. They actively listen to my voice, and they know the difference between my voice and other people's voices. And I think what maybe the gist of last week's sermon was that I think probably the greatest challenge we have as followers of Jesus is to really listen well, right? We have to learn to listen, because if we can assume that God is always speaking to us, which I think is a fair assumption based on my reading of Scripture, if God's always speaking to us in a variety of ways, then we need to be really active in the way that we position ourselves to listen to him. Does that make sense? Like, we actually have to work hard at listening. Which, you know, I shared a couple weeks ago about how in the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 19, James says that let everyone be quick to listen, right? And that was probably one of the greatest things I learned about marriage for myself. And if you're a husband right now, take note, write this down, James 1, 19, right? Wives, amen. Head nod? Yeah, like listening is a... Some of you wives are nodding a little too hard. I just want to let you know right now, it's really awkward. Your husband is feeling really demeaned right now. But moving on. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about hearing from God, but I want to maybe provide some more context for the way that I'm thinking about hearing from God and listening for God's voice. And so what I want us to do is to think about the church. And I don't know if it's okay, but this morning, could we learn some theology? Is that okay? Yes? You guys want to learn something today? Because I spent a long time in graduate school writing this dissertation. And it's great because when you're in grad school, you write dissertations that three people read, your professors. And if you're really lucky, your mom might try to as well. My mom started at, got to page three and then just said, no, thank you, all right? So, but what I did is I spent a lot of time in graduate school studying this idea of sacramental theology. And I'm going to define these words for us, but I want us to think about this today, about the church, okay? The church, I think, is a sacramental space, all right? And so some of you might be thinking, I haven't heard the word sacrament since I was in the Catholic Church, or maybe you've never heard the word sacrament, so what we're going to do is we're going to define it. So what is a sacrament? What is a sacrament? Here's the answer to that question. A sacrament is a means of grace, all right? So just think about that. A means meaning it is the way that we experience God's grace, all right? I don't know about you, but I want to experience God's grace, so I think that when we talk about the sacraments, which generally speaking in church history are baptism and the Lord's Supper, but when I think about those things, I think in the context of experiencing God's grace. Like, I know plenty of people who have been baptized who, as they're going down and coming up, they experience an overwhelming sense of God's presence and God's love and God's grace. The same thing is true with the Lord's Supper, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But here's what a famous theologian said about sacrament. This is the way he defined it. St. Augustine, or Augustine, said, "A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace." All right? So here's what I'm thinking about when I talk about how the church is a sacramental space. That might be a new concept for some of you in this room, but this is what I'm thinking when I do that. Is if a sacrament is a means of experiencing God's grace, then we should want to have more of sacramental space in our gatherings, right? And so when I think of us all gathering together, what I think of is that this is a means of grace. Right now, this room, there is a means of grace. Let me explain a couple different ways that we have that happening. How many of you have ever gathered together with other followers of Jesus, and someone who's a follower of Jesus comes up and shares an encouraging word with you? Anybody in this room ever have that happen? That's because it's a sacramental space. It's a means of experiencing God's goodness as the Holy Spirit makes himself known to us. Or for instance, maybe during the music, you actually are being drawn into the presence of God, and God's presence is coming because the Bible says that as we draw near to God, he draws near to us, right? And so therefore, it's a sacramental space. See, I think we're working very hard to create an environment here. Are you with me on that? Like, we're working hard to create an environment to where on Sunday mornings, people can relax a little bit. Okay, is that okay? If you relax, yeah? Drink a cup of coffee, sit down, meet new people, and experience and encounter the risen and ascended Jesus. That's kind of what we're trying to do here. And so in that regard, I think of the church as a sacramental space. It's a place or a context where we can hear from God. It's a place where we gather together and we hear the voice of the Lord through the singing, through the preaching, through the encouraging words of other people. And then one of the things that I think that we sometimes maybe overlook is that we can also hear the voice of the Lord through the children in our churches. Does that make sense? So here's a great way that happened for me one time. I'm in the middle of preaching, and there was a baby in the room. And the baby started flipping out. Could you make the baby flip out right now? It'd be a really great illustration. No? Okay. All right. So it's like the baby is flipping out, and I have ADD or something, and I'm like trying to go on, and all of a sudden it was like, ah! And I was about ready to, you know, throw something. I don't know. I was freaking out. You know, I couldn't stay on track, and all of a sudden I heard the voice of the Lord say, "This is a great illustration of what it's like when someone in the church is really going through challenging situations and they start to squawk a little bit," right? What do you need to do with a baby when it's freaking out? You need to comfort it, right? You need to put it on your shoulder. And it's like, as I'm sitting there, I just heard the Lord give me this really great illustration about how we can learn from children. When they're freaking out, they need something, right? In the same way that when adults freak out, they need to be burped, right? Are you guys with me? Like, they need to. Like, you need to burp other adults sometimes. How many of you need to be burped sometimes? Just be honest right now. Put your hand up, every one of you. All right. It's reality, though, is that we can learn from children. We can actually learn from children. I think that's a way of seeing them as a means of grace. And so, as I'm thinking a lot about the church as a sacramental space, what I think that does for us in the Vineyard is it leans heavily on our theology of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Vineyard movement is part of the renewal tradition. Pentecostals, Charismatics, Third Waves. Who do we love? Jesus. Whose presence do we value? The Holy Spirit's. Whose love do we want to experience? God the Father's, right? We're a Trinitarian movement. But we really value the ongoing work and presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That's why our favorite prayer in the Vineyard is, "Come, Holy Spirit." Why? Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, things are not going to go as good as they could. Right? Head nod. Right. So that's why we want the Holy Spirit to come. So the church is a sacramental space in which the Holy Spirit comes and engages our hearts and our minds and our lives and reveals truth to us, and we actually experience God's grace and we hear his voice in a variety of ways. And it's a really beautiful thing. So church is, I think, a sacrament to the world too. Like, you people in this room who are followers of Jesus can be a means of grace to the community around us. Think about that. We all in this room, gathered collectively and individually, can give grace to those neighbors and those friends and those family members that we encounter on a regular basis. So in that sense, I think the church is a sacrament to the world. And we experience it in our gatherings as a sacramental space, as I've been saying. So here's what I want to do for just a few minutes. The posture of our hearts, okay? I want to talk about this man named Samuel. Okay, Samuel was born to a woman named Hannah. And if you study in 1 Samuel, you'll see that Hannah was this woman who couldn't have a child. And so what we see is she basically says, God, I will do anything. If you give me a child, I will dedicate my child to the Lord, and he will be yours. And you can use him for however you want. And so God honors that and gives her a child, and his name is Samuel. Well, so once the child is old enough to be able to kind of stand up and fall over a little bit, but stand up, she brings him to the temple, and she gives him to Eli, the leading priest at the time. And so he's growing up, and he's spending time in the temple, and he's doing all these things, you know, around the temple, religious services and things like that. And then we read somewhere in 1 Samuel 3 this story, and I want you to look at this real quick. Okay, so meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And then it says, suddenly. Say that with me. Suddenly. All right, that's how it happens sometimes. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel! Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. In other words, he doesn't know what's going on, right? He says, here I am. Did you call me? Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Quit bothering me. So Samuel does. He goes back to bed, right? Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. And so I'm thinking through the story, and there's a couple things that I observe seeing Samuel, and this is one of them, is if we want to hear from God, we need to start by being willing to obey his voice. Did you notice that? When Samuel, who is being taught about hearing God's voice by Eli, he's told, hey, when you hear the Lord again, say, speak, for your servant is listening. And again, that Hebrew word for listening is not just to hear, it means to listen and to obey, to act. It's actively listening. And that's one of the things that we, as followers of Jesus, when we're talking about hearing from God, the posture of our heart, if we really want to hear from God, is we need to say, God, speak to me, and whatever you speak to me, I'm going to respond to. Because being a follower of Jesus is really about responding. You see, I really do think this is true, that God speaks to us in unlikely times and in unlikely places. It's that suddenly that comes on. But I really do also believe that the church is perfectly designed by God to be a place where we can engage and encounter with the Holy Spirit. Have you found that to be true too in your life? You know, that the church gatherings are a context in which we can actually encounter and experience God's presence. So I have this really great privilege this morning, I'm going to have one of my friends come up here, and he's going to share his story. Now, how many of you know who Tony Sandow is? All right? We're going to have Tony come up right now. He might have left the building. No, he's not. He's still here. And Tony has a really powerful testimony to share with us.
I don't know if it's that powerful.
It's powerful. Brace yourselves.
There's a lot of people here.
Yeah. It's a lot easier in your mind than...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Just picture them all naked.
I already told over there, they're naked right there. Okay.
Start? Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I've been going to the vineyard for about 12 years before my wife and I were married, Rachel. And I said, yeah, I'll go. It was kind of just primarily because Steve did my dad's service when he passed away. So there was some familiarity there. And I thought, okay, I can do it. And eventually we got married. And so I've been coming full time for over 10 years now. Well, mostly full time. But, you know, I always had a prayer. You know, after I went here a while, I thought, okay, is this real? Because I had other things that I enjoy doing, primarily Sunday morning football, you know, and I'm just being honest. You know, I just wanted God to speak to me and answer me because the early morning games are really good and I didn't want to miss those. This is, and then on top of that, we have fantasy football. So I'm a football nut, but so I kept coming, but I dug my phone out and I was looking and not engaging. I was here, but I wasn't here. And years and years kept coming pretty faithfully and met a lot of people that I consider my friends, you know, family. I gotta slow down just for a second. I'm good. Kept coming, and one day, you know, we heard for a couple years that Steve wasn't gonna be our pastor. He announced that, and then it got more reality. And I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna keep coming, but I'm gonna see Steve out to the end because I respect him. So I thought, okay, this will be my way out. You know, everybody's gotta have a way out, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna ride off into the sunset with Steve. So in March, Luke shows up, okay? And I thought, okay, I'll give this a whirl. This will be something different. A lot of people showed up, and a lot of things showed up. I'm sitting right there, maybe a little further back. I think it's closer now. But this weird feeling came over me. And I take medication for a medical condition. And I thought, man, I don't think I took my medicine this morning. And because we'd driven separately, I was able to leave a little bit early. I said, I gotta go. Because we just coincidentally that day, everybody was coming to our house for like a get together for you and Dawn. And so I thought, okay, I gotta go. But when I went home, I'd taken my medicine. But the weirdest is, just to backtrack for a minute, the prayer that I always said, let me know that God's real so I don't have to, you know, so I can justify coming here instead of watching football. And that morning, that happened. And when I left here, you know, because I had to excuse myself, so I left, and the weirdest thing, when I drove down Main Street, I just wanted to tell somebody that God was real. Because that happened to me. When I got home, and just to put this aside, I'm the last person I thought I'd ever see up here talking like this. I mean, it's still amazing to me, you know, coming here 12 years and finding more reasons to get out of church instead of getting in it. but I try to invest myself for the home stretch for Steve. And when I got home that day, it was more than a real, it was powerful. And I can't describe the whole, I don't know, it was just like amazing is the one word that I can use to best to describe. And during the barbecue that day, I tried to keep it together, kept going outside a lot, checked the grill, because I wanted it to be about Luke and Dawn being here for their weekend and not about me and what had happened to me. So, needless to say, the burgers didn't burn because I was hanging out there. And that night I told my wife what had happened, and she was pretty excited about it because she's been a follower of God for a long time. So I needed to reach out to somebody with more answers, so I called Bill. And I don't know, I think Bill beat some kind of land speed record from his house to my house. And of course I said, let's keep this between us. That worked for about 30 hours, maybe. And Katie was pretty excited too. But I something felt weird, and I told Bill, because when this happened, obviously, when Luke did service, and I didn't want anybody to know but Bill, because it felt wrong. Like I said, I had come here for 12 years, and Luke shows up, and this happened. It was like I was cheating on my wife or something, because he shows up, but Steve wasn't here. You know, it just felt like, if something like that should have happened, it should have happened when Steve was here. Yeah. So I didn't want anybody to know, and that was the reason I didn't want anyone to know. And talking to Bill, you know, more than one occasion, he said the reason that that happened, though, was because the time that I had spent here and the impact that Steve had put in to me and me listening. So I could accept that, and I felt better about that and didn't feel so much like I was cheating on Steve. If that makes sense. I mean, I'm not.
Tony, at the men's gathering that he shared the story, he called me a cheap date. I was really.
I did.
I was really offended by that, but I got over it.
I don't know. I think we had a moment when I said Brett Favre's great and you disagree. But
I did.
Anyways, moving on. It's just been incredible. I can't really put it all into words. But, you know, backtracking. I was the last person I thought would have, like, the Word of the Day app, you know, a little message on my phone, but I do. I'm doing better than I thought, because I expected to have to hand the microphone off, so I'm trying my best here. But it's just been really great in a lot of ways, and I've seen changes in my life, in our family's life, for the most part. You know, everybody has their baggage, but for the most part, a lot of stuff's gotten a lot better, and I owe that to the Holy Spirit coming to me, and I'm very happy and thankful for that, and I owe a lot of it, or all of it, to my wife.
Let it go, brother.
because I would have never made that decision to come here or anywhere else. It would have just been, well, maybe I can try it, but I promised my wife I would come, and I stuck to that promise, and good things have happened. And I'm not telling my story to tell my story just to get up here and talk, because this is the last place I want to be. I'm telling it for somebody that might be coming, that is on the fence about it. You know, that they're coming like I was, just showing up, just putting in your 2 hours and going home. I'm just hoping that maybe I can touch somebody else's heart, or maybe just make you think about it, and somehow that'll happen to you. Because
that's awesome. Yeah. Some more? Oh. Yeah. Go. Keep going. Is it okay if he keeps going? All right. Keep going. This is great because I have nothing else prepared. So I mean, keep going. It's awesome.
No, and I'm thankful to everybody else here that has been coming. Friend Jeanette, the Rosses, our gardens, all of them. I mean, and if I'm leaving your name out, it's not intentional, because there's a lot of people that mean a lot. But I think every one of you had a role in it. And more than anything, I just don't let anybody tell you, you know, because, you know, that, okay, I've drank the Kool-Aid, I've given it, this is all on me, 100% on me, that this happened. I mean, no one made me keep coming, and I didn't think it would ever happen, I was just coming, but I was investing, and instead of just showing up for the 2 hours, we couldn't have coffee back then, but just instead of just showing up and leaving, I invested a little bit. Not a lot, either. But just enough, and I consider myself just a regular dude. I don't have any theology, but it can happen, and it was very powerful when it did happen. I can't emphasize that enough. And if it was you, I thank you. I mean, really I do. Because you made it happen too. I mean, everyone had a part in it. And I'm starting to ramble. But I took my meds. Got it.
You know, I think something maybe for us to just right now to kind of transition our hearts and our minds towards this. You know, when Tony was kind of sharing this, because I didn't know this until like June, Tony's telling me this, I'm like, it would have been nice to know that when it was happening, because I thought you were just being rude by leaving and going outside all the time to flip burgers. Not really, but it was like really great story, right? But here's the thing, is that I see this as a great illustration of how Tony kept positioning himself to hear from God, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I come to church and I'm like, oh, hopefully this is worth it, you know? And it's like you keep putting yourself in a situation where God can speak to us, right? And then God does. God shows up suddenly and unexpectedly and in unlikely ways. God shows up and speaks to us, you know? And kind of last week I talked about how God speaks to us in a variety of ways. Some people have dreams, visions. Scripture is a primary means by which God speaks to us, but he also speaks to us by our friends, our family, sermons, during the music, all those different ways that God speaks to us. But here's what I love about what's happening in Tony's life is that as God's speaking to Tony, he's responding, right? It's like he's responding to what God's doing. Yeah, you guys can, there's one clap. That was good. Amen. I don't know. So let's stand up. Let's stand up together and do this. People of the Spirit, centered on Jesus, who are hungry for God's presence. That, I think, is a pretty good way of defining who we are. And if Tony had already said, You know, if you're here this morning, I mean, you've been putting in the hours, you've been showing up, you're trying to position yourself to hear from God, I would like to invite the Lord to speak to you this morning. And I think that's something you can do too. So I just want to encourage you to close your eyes. That helps you to focus on maybe the Spirit speaking to you. And we just do collectively say right now, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to our hearts and our minds. We welcome your presence. God, I just pray right now, Lord, for each person in this room that has never had an encounter with you in a way that is transformative. Would you come right now and engage our hearts? And just with your eyes closed and heads bowed, one thing that the Apostle Paul says in Romans is that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of the Father into our hearts. And like, for me, that's one of the starting spots. You know, you might be coming on a regular basis to a church. You know, you might be gathering together with other people that are followers of Jesus, and you're not really sure. But like, stage one, encounter one, is about encountering God's love for you. And so I just want to tell you right now, God loves you so much that he actually sent his son Jesus to this earth to live a perfectly sinless life for 30 plus years, something that you and I can't do. Jesus did that. And then Jesus, in addition to coming to this earth and living perfectly in a way that you and I can't do, Jesus then willingly goes to the cross, and he is beaten, he is bruised, he is treated like a common criminal, even though he is the perfect Son of God, completely holy. And then he's nailed to a cross, and he's put up, displayed for the whole entire world to see. And he did that to demonstrate God's great love for you. And that's the beauty of it. It's personal and it's relational. It's not just about all people in this some generic way, but it's individually. God loved you so much that he demonstrated his love, that while you were a sinner and broken and in need of a Savior, Christ died for you. And so that's the love. And so I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would pour out his great love for each one of you right now. And if you're here this morning and you've maybe heard that before, or you've heard a little bit of the story, but you've never ever made a personal decision to become a follower of Jesus, I'm going to ask you right now to respond in that way. And so just with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if you want to make a decision right now to become a follower of Jesus, to make it personal, to say yes to God, I'm just going to ask you just to put your hand up right now. All right. Those of you who've put your hands up, this is the good news, is that the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Christ was raised from the dead, we will be saved. Scripture also says that if we go to God and we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so the good news about the five or six of you that raised your hand this morning, you are forgiven and you are welcomed into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says that when one person repents of their sins, there is a party going on in heaven. And so as a corporate, collective, gathered people of God, can we just give a round of applause for what the Holy Spirit is doing right now? Yeah? Now here's the deal. If you did put your hand up and you're saying, yes, I want to become a follower of Jesus, if you did that, I want to encourage you to do a couple things. Number one is you can start talking to God immediately, praying. That's all prayer is. You do not have to have special language to talk to God. You just need to be able to start talking to him. All right? And then secondly, you need to tell someone. And I would love to be the person that you talk to. I'd love to give you some resources that can help you to grow closer to Jesus. I'd love to get coffee with you because I like coffee a lot. And I'll look for any excuse I can get to have it. So talking to you would be great. But in addition to that too, I want to encourage you to keep on coming back. keep on gathering together with other followers of Jesus so you can be in that sacramental space where we meet in the context of the Holy Spirit being with us, helping us to become more like Jesus. Now we're going to sing one last song and then we're going to be dismissed.